The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, Century 21, Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm here with my co-host and husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Very good.
We have a special guest. We've never tackled this topic before.
Yes, this is a new one.
This is a new one. We have Joshua Arp. He's the owner of D&D Organic Lawns and also the Clark Summit Municipal Arborist. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Thank you for being here with us.
I'm happy to be. I enjoy the program.
Oh,
wow, thank you.
We're thrilled to hear that. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. where we cover many real estate topics. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced and exceptional realtors. We provide excellent results. We have been delivering dreams and changing lives for the better by listing, selling, and appraising real estate for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you're at jruddy.com, click on the Dunmore Corners live webcam tab. They're promising big construction. You can watch it live on the webcam. We get hundreds of hits a day on that webcam. I can't believe it.
Yes. Well, at this time of year, we're starting to think about the changing weather and the nasty
leaves.
Well, in a little while, we're going to be talking about snow and sleet and ice and all that. So the webcam, I like to look at it just to see how the roads are, the main roads are, before I head out. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. View our listings. Search the MLS listings and listen to archive radio shows by going to mobilefriendlyjruddy.com. JRUDDY.com. Joshua Arp, owner of D&D Organic Lawns and Clark Summit's Municipal Arborist. We're going to talk about trees today. How do you feel about that? You know a lot about trees.
You know a lot about trees.
I know a little.
You know, I think you know a lot.
I think we're going to pull that knowledge out of you.
Yes. And so we've never had this discussion. I mean, it would be a mention here or there, but we never really dove into this topic, and I'm looking forward to it. And I want to talk about all the trees in the Northeast PA, what's going on, and things that you see about trees that I would never, when I'm looking at a tree, I see one thing, you see a lot more. And you also write a lot of articles, which I think is noteworthy. Give us a little history on yourself and how people can get in touch with you, please.
The best way to contact me is by email. And that's JOSARHUAP at AOL.com. I've been in business for a long time. It's a family business. We have had the business since 1986. And I learned to love trees by being in the business, not the other way around. I didn't go into the tree study because or into business because I love trees, but it simply became part of the stuff that I was working with on a regular basis. So I progressively fell in love with trees. When we bought our home in Clark Summit, we wanted to become involved in community service, and it was just about that time that Clark Summit was starting a shade tree commission for, who knows, the second, third, fourth time. And I was appointed to be on that first renewed Clark Summit Shade Tree Commission. I served on that then for about 10 years, stepped aside for family obligations and to get other people involved, and that's what the time that Clark Summit named me Municipal Arborist. So I still work with the Shade Tree Commission, evaluating problems and making plans for the borough's tree care. Through working on the Shade Tree Commission, I became certified as an arborist. I attended the Penn State Arborist Short Course, became certified as an arborist. Then, through a grant from the DCNR, I became a municipal specialist certified with ISA. And those that knowledge then I was able to put to good use on the Shade Tree Commission. Then, of course, to retain your certification, you have to do continuing education units. I found out that every article that you publish, you get continuing education credits for, so I contacted the local newspapers. I asked them, can I write articles for you on the basis of the Clark Summit Shade Tree Commission, and one thing led to another, and I think I'm in my fourth year of writing articles, weekly articles in the Abington Suburban.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yes, and I read a lot of those articles in preparation for the show, and it was they're very interesting, and you're quite gifted. So I wanted to talk to you about your Shade Tree Commission involvement and what that means. Why does a community have a Shade Tree Commission? What's the role?
So without a Shade Tree Commission, there is no municipal oversight of any trees along the streets or even in parks. So, you know, Arbor Day used to have an advertisement on the radio, imagine a world without trees, right? So imagine a community without trees. If nobody gives thought to it, there's not going to be trees that are held by the community. And we talked about this earlier. You think about the term leafy suburbs, the leafy suburbs. You're not going to have the leafy suburbs if nobody works together on that. So I think it was early in the 20th century that Pennsylvania Borough Code was adapted to allow for shade tree commissions to be established, just like planning commissions, zoning commissions. They're allowed to raise money, and they're allowed to create ordinances and enforce them for trees that are in the public sphere. So for parks in general, but more specifically the right-of-way, which is along the streets.
So you have a say as to what is planted?
That is correct. So the borough council will pass, if there's a shade tree commission, and they do this, an ordinance, which is called a shade tree ordinance. That shade tree ordinance can talk about how trees are allowed to be maintained in the right-of-way, not on public, on the private, not your backyard. What can be planted? For example, you don't want to plant a Norway spruce or any evergreen right next to the street. So right?
That's an evergreen. Okay.
Right?
Why?
Because the boughs droop, right? So you're not going to have the canopy effect. The sap is going to be all over cars, and it's just going to be a mess.
And they grow out into the...
And they grow out into the street, not over the street, and the sidewalk, right? Yeah.
So they obstruct.
So the Shade Tree Commission, even though it wants more trees to be planted, we don't want
certain
evergreens
types.
To okay. be planted. Right. We also wouldn't want you to plant an orchard in the right-of-way, right? Because then the apples are dropping, people could fall hazard, etc. It gets tricky when you talk about crab apples. You know, the industry says that they're only a half inch, and so they can't cause any harm. But a lot of people are complaining about mess. What tree doesn't have a mess? What beautiful thing doesn't require maintenance, right? Some trees drop their flower petals. So there are usually shade tree ordinances are not specific in a very intense way. Clark Summit allows orchards on the street and Clark's Green doesn't, right? No, most boroughs are not going to allow apples to be planted next to the street.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, we said that at the same time.
Right. Yes, how about that? Yes. Great minds think alike. Right? So, okay, if I was a homeowner in the Abingtons and I wanted to plant trees,
right of way.
In the front, okay, so in my front yard or in the right of way, do I have to go ask permission?
Have to versus ought to.
Right. Okay.
So enforcement is kind of a big deal. And if it's not being enforced, you don't have to, right? But there's good reason to do it because Shade Tree Commission people have studied these things out. So they may alert you to a problem with the tree or liability that could come about from that. There's another good reason. There are sometimes the Shade Tree Commissions are looking for new planting sites, and they might actually pay to have the tree put in. They might buy the tree and help to have volunteers, or even they might have budgeted money to put the tree in. So there are good reasons for contacting your Shade Tree Commission or your borough, your township, or your city.
I wouldn't think of it. be quite honest. I would not even think of it. It's not in the right of way, but we planted a tree in our front yard. We're getting so many compliments because we planted it, you know, it was new and it was young and it was small, but it's now appearing to look very nice. And you're not a tree person. I am a tree person. I love trees, but we live in a neighborhood with mature trees, and this is a new tree, but it's growing and it's flowering and it's, I think, cascading beautifully on our front lawn. But I would never have thought to ask permission. It's my front lawn.
The right of way usually just is that little bit of grass that grows between the sidewalk and the street. Mm-hmm. It could get a little bit further than that. Sometimes the telephone poles are planted on the right of way. So it's likely that your tree,
it's on the other side of the sidewalk. But we do have a tree
on the right of way, right next to the driveway.
Right next to the telephone pole.
Right next to the telephone pole.
And if I could ask you realtors a question about this, from a shade tree perspective, suppose you have a house up for sale in your neighborhood, mature trees, and during the time that you listed it and gave the, you know, you guided the people through the pricing, and a few weeks later, you come by, and now this tree has all these, the top has been completely cut off of it, all these stubs. How would you feel about the pricing and the sale possibility if that had been done with the tree?
Well, we have to look at it case by case, but we've had plenty of tree nightmares the course of a sale where some have fallen into a neighbor's yard or something like you just talked about happened, and it does throw things off course a little bit, but in terms of a value adjustment, I couldn't answer that it's specific to that situation.
But I asked the question because the shade tree ordinance is going to say all trees in the right of way have to be pruned properly according to national standards.
Oh my.
Okay, so
who pays for that? The homeowner?
That's a tricky question.
Okay. Some municipalities
may.
Right.
But ideally, and this is not to sound like someone who loves criminal justice, but ideally, if someone hacks the street trees close to death, ideally they should be fined for that, because you may have killed trees that are part of beautification of the whole neighborhood. In fact, it's unlikely that those mature trees you planted, right? And in a sense, I hate this is thin ice, but in a sense, they're community ownership. In the right of way, technically they are in the right of way. But there's a wider sense in which if I hammer my trees, it affects you, my next door neighbor, and your quality of life.
Well,
The ordinance can help to prevent that type of thing from happening, just like a speeding, speed limit, etc.
She's going somewhere.
I'm going somewhere. You see it in my eyes. I think you need to sell your house in Clarksum, and I know great realtors. Come to Dunmore, buy a house in Dunmore, and become the Dunmorean arborist, because we need someone like you in our community, because there are trees being killed around us, perfectly good, healthy trees. And it's
hacked.
It's awful. I think when I look out my window, I cringe, and it's awful.
Well, I'm happy to consult outside of the Abingtons at the municipal level. I've done it. I've helped Dunmore. Right now, I'm working with a recreation board. I've talked to Clark Screen. I'm sorry, I didn't help Dunmore. I helped Dalton, the Countryside Conservancy. I've counseled with them because this is about our quality of life. It really is.
Well,
at the end of the day,
it enhances and beautifies the community, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing like a well-established neighborhood with the tree-lined street. And
right, what's the best tree to plant on a tree-lined street? I mean, oak trees take forever to grow, don't they?
They are slow growing. Although the guys that taught me, some of them were from California, and they say in Pennsylvania everything grows quick.
Yeah, tell me
about
it.
The truth of the matter is, you can get fairly good shade out of a tree in a hurry in northeastern Pennsylvania. One tree that we've been planting in the Abingtons lately is often called an October Glory or an Autumn Blaze. Those are our trade names for what is really just a hybrid between a silver maple and a red maple.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we have a maple
tree.
We have two maple trees.
You probably know silver maples. They're in the older neighborhoods. they have the silvery bark that peels off, and they have very light, wispy leaves, and when the wind blows, they turn up, and there's silver under there. They have decay problems. So those are the trees that tend to rot back. So by crossing it with the red maple, they've kind of improved the tree. These autumn glory trees, if you plant one, and we all, at the municipal level, we always recommend planting them bare root, which means that there's no soil on the root ball. I can plant a bare root tree that's, I can hold a bare root tree that's 2 inches in diameter in one hand. So I can hold a 10-foot tree in each hand with one hand. That's how light they are. They come to, in the fall or in the early spring. And I can plant those trees in 20 minutes each. And it's 10 feet tall. And within 5 years, you'll have a tree that's 20 feet tall and maybe 15 feet wide for the October glory. You can also do it with shade master locusts or any kind of locusts. From a municipal perspective, we push locust trees on unhappy homeowners because we say to them, don't worry, you don't have to rake the leaves. Well, if you think about a locust tree, they have the tiny little leaves.
Yeah, I have locust trees on some. I'm not, and they just want to fill the whole field. They're just getting bigger and bigger.
Well,
I have
those
to cut
are
them
the
down.
Natural black locusts.
Oh, I have to cut them down.
And they have thorns.
Yes.
And they're a native tree. These trees that I'm talking about that are approved for municipal work are hybrids of those.
Oh, the little
leaves. So
the
they
little
have tiny little leaves. They're, well, they do have some problems. Like they'll sprout from roots, but you can just cut that down. But they, generally speaking, the leaves are not going to cause problems if you don't rake them. You probably should rake some, but if you don't rake them, they're not going to cause problems. So those are the locusts. We have new elm varieties that are resistant to the Dutch elm disease that wiped out a lot of mature trees 50 years ago, right?
In my neighborhood in Brooklyn, we had all these beautiful trees along the street, and then in 3 years, I remember they were all gone.
The great thing about the elms, if you remember, is that they're a canopy shape. So they actually grow up and over the street, right? So it's like your street is a hallway.
Yeah, it was. That's the way it was.
Right? So that's why I like to plant the elms, because I want to create more of these canopy streets.
Man, my dad was in the 50s, he was a pruner for the Parks Department for the city of New York. He used to go out and he would cut the trees down, and he said it was Dutch elm disease. Dutch elm disease. He says it wiped out so many trees.
And right now we have that problem with the emerald ash borer. I don't know if you guys have heard of that, but ash trees are basically all doomed and they're all dying. And that's
why?
There's a beetle that came on some shipping material from
Asia.
And it came in the shipping material. It started discovered in Michigan, and it slowly migrated over the past 10 years until it's in northeastern Pennsylvania. And if you have an ash tree that's untreated, it's basically guaranteed to die. There will be some that survive. Some elm trees survived. But the ash trees are basically doomed in Pennsylvania's forests. And as a municipal arborist and as a private industry worker, I don't think treating them is sustainable. It costs a lot of money to put the insecticides in the ash trees to prevent them from dying.
Do they have to be sprayed on?
They get an injection.
They get an injection
every 2 years. Every 2 to 3 years, it requires an injection, and it's expensive. So if you talk about how much money that will cost you, I think it's like the minimum is $200. So one tree, smallish tree, over a 10-year period needs 5 injections just to keep it to go. Now you're up to $1,000. I say take that money,
and get
budget
a new tree.
It for replacement, put a new tree in, and cry, right? But use it as an opportunity to replace it with a better tree. Maybe the ash tree that you have that's dying isn't in the best shape. I know of a neighborhood, College Park in Clark's Green, they had scores of ash trees die that within the last 2 years. And many of them were not in the best shape to begin with. They were beautiful trees, but they had been improperly pruned in the past, and so they had issues with decay and so forth. So, anyhow, the emerald ash borer is our big problem today.
Right. Take it down before it takes you down, or your vehicles, your cars, damage your property, or, God forbid, hurt someone or kill them. Okay, with us today, Joshua Arp, owner of D&D Organic Lawns and Clark Summits Municipal Arborist. How does someone get in touch with you, please?
Best way is by email. My email shows up at the end of my column, which is in the Abington Suburban every week. And actually, it sometimes shows up in the Triborough Banner. And it's josarhuap at AOL.com. I do not have a blog, but it's available on Muckrack. If you search my name, Joshua Arp, and Muckrack or Muckracker, it's like a repository of journalism. And so you'll find my email address at the bottom of every column that you find on Muckrack as well.
Thank you. Pat?
Yes, we have a move-in condition, three-bedroom, two-bath, ranch-style home at 1301 Dorothy Street in Scranton for $123,000. This home was built in the 80s, and it has a one-car garage and a large fenced-in yard with a rear deck. It has a 200-amp electrical service and a modern kitchen. The lower level is finished for extra living space, and it also has, this is kind of cool, it's got a steel spiral staircase going down there. It also has a wood-burning stone-faced fireplace, and it's in the Trips Park section of Scranton. Give us a call. This one won't last long. That's a three-bedroom, two-bath, ranch-style home with a one-car garage at 1301 Dorothy Street for $123,000. And that's listed by Sam Shelter of our office.
Thank you. I have the GSBR, Greater Scranton Board of Realtors, MLS Statistics.
Statistics?
For sold data in the last 30 days in Lackawanna, Luzerne, Pike, Wayne, and Wyoming counties. Median sales price for two-bedroom single-family home is $85,000. Median sales price for three-bedroom single-family home is $139,900. And the median sales price for four bedrooms or more on a single-family residence is $167,500.
There's a big difference between the two and the three-bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yes. Very much so. So think about that before your purchase if you're going to sell it in the future.
Right.
Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker.
The talented team of professionals at Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. They're not just real estate agents. They're agents of change. They're on a never-ending quest for the best for you and your family. They can help you find exactly, precisely what you want at this time in your life. A computer, a website, an app, and a listing by itself can't do that. They're obsessed with better and deliver extraordinary, embracing the what if, not just the what's been done before, with a level of accountability and honesty not found anywhere else in the real estate industry. Don't settle for average, okay, or just all right. This change in your life is monumental. And there's only one Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate that will help you rock that change. Call 570-344-6724 and visit jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Each Century 21 office is independently owned and operated.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband, fellow realtor Pat Devaney.
And we're back.
And we're back with Joshua Arp, owner of D&D Organic Lawns and Clark Summit's Municipal Arborist. Hello.
Hi.
So we were talking about the ash tree blight before the break, and what people should do if they have an ash tree. You suggested maybe it's probably not going to
survive,
take it down now, plant something.
I tell people you could take it down now, or you can just let it go its normal course. You're going to have to make an assessment of its risk. But if you assess that it isn't in a risky situation, it can actually be good for wildlife to leave it stand. So you're going to have to make a risk assessment. But if a tree has leaves on it right now, it's probably not risky, but you're going to see it decline, and you'll see it decline quickly.
Our certified residential appraiser who was on the show last week asked...
He had a specific question.
He has a specific question for you because he remembers lots of chestnut trees when he was growing up in the area, and he wants to know what happened to them.
Believe it or not, there still are chestnut trees in the woods. But when they hit a certain age, they don't live more than 20 years or so. They get hit by the chestnut blight, which is a fungus. And I believe it attacks the top of the tree because they can continue to resprout from the roots. But in terms of producing a chestnut crop or being a viable street tree, chestnuts are not viable anyway. Or, although there is the American Chestnut Foundation, and they have done some crossing with resistant trees from Asia, and they've basically been able to, some of them have been able to exclude most of the Japanese part, except for the part that is resistant to the blight. And so there are some chestnuts that can be planted that are blight resistant. And there are all kinds of, there's all kinds of work being done at different universities to try to bring back the chestnut. Interestingly enough about the chestnut, it was a huge economic crop. You hear the songs, chestnuts roasting on an open fire, etc. People used to go out in the woods and gather bushels and bushels of chestnut for celebrating at the holidays. They were sold at the markets, etc. Basically now, if you're buying chestnuts at a market, they're probably coming from Asia.
Oh, didn't know that.
That's all right.
We only have a little bit of time left, and I'd like to ask you if you can give me a fun fact on a tree, any tree.
So we were talking about weeping willows and how you can cut off a twig, stick it in the ground, and you'll have a new weeping willow growing there. That characteristic is possible because of what are called meristem cells in the tree. And the weeping willow has a lot of them. Every plant has these meristem cells, which are like the stem cells in your body. And what that simply means is that cell can differentiate to a number of functions. In other words, a place with high meristem cells can produce either roots or twigs, depending upon what is needed and what the circumstances are. So when you're taking a weeping willow branch, putting it in the ground, in a place that normally could have sprouted a twig, it now sprouts roots, and you have a new weeping willow.
What other trees do that?
As far as I know, just about every tree has these meristem cells, okay? And this type of propagation is called asexual propagation by layering, as opposed to from seed. And so the place where you're going to see these meristem cells in action is in an improperly pruned tree. So if an internodal cut is made, which means a cut that's between nodes, so somewhere in the middle of a branch, what happens to it in 5 years? Less than 5 years. Tons of little sprouts will come out from the end of that, right?
Yes.
They're called water sprouts. So those are latent buds that are going to try to recover from that cut that's being made there. The best thing to do is to cut it at a branch junction where the highest level of meristem cells are, because the tree will naturally create the wound wood that will heal over that cut and hopefully prevent decay. So basically all trees have meristem cells. Some trees have more than others, are more vigorous than others, and will propagate by layering more vigorous than others. You can take a compound from the willow tree and help other plants root with it. It's called a rooting hormone compound that's an organic matter. So the willow tree makes enough of this stuff, enough of this hormone to be used on other trees as well, not just enough for itself.
Fascinating. Excellent fun fact. Joshua Arp, owner of D&D Organic Lawns, Clark Summit's Municipal Arborist as well. How does someone get in touch with you, please?
Email is best. My email is josarhuap@aol.com.
We'd like to have you back next week.
That'll be great.
Pat?
Yes, we have a 5-unit apartment building with a first floor commercial occupancy at 512-514. Oh, it's Chestnut Street.
Imagine that. Yeah, imagine we that. Didn't plan that.
No, we didn't. For $395,000. Also included is a 2-bedroom ranch style home and 2 garages. There's a lot of property here for not a lot of money. The apartments have separate utilities and long-term tenants. The business and the commercial occupancy is not for sale. You'll have to call us to find out what the rental income is and the specific on the apartments. That's a 5-unit apartment building with a commercial occupancy and 2 garages at 512-514 Chestnut Street in Dunmore for $395,000, and that's listed by Karen Kashuba of our office.
Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.